Welcome, everyone. We are here like week two, and I have brought a very special guest in. Someone you've heard me talk about a lot, but have never met. So I am very, very excited. I'll introduce her in just a second. But hey, guys, I see a lot of you found the chat again. We have the live streaming chat, and you guys get to ask questions during the show into there, so feel free to do that. There's no big long lags like used to be in the old Danny App TV. This is now I see what you're typing almost when you're typing it. There we go. All right. I know I confuse you guys. I know. I do my best. As long as I keep you confused, then you don't notice all my mistakes. See how it is. So anyway, so let me get right to introducing my beautiful daughter, Jennifer McGinnis. And she's about ready to kill me for bringing her in the studio to do this to her. But something happened this week that was really worthy of us talking about with all of you, because this is a very good point of something that happens and I don't know anybody that stuff doesn't happen, right? Stuff happens. And many times we want to just go into that panic mode and that, oh my gosh, I have to like, what am I going to do? I don't know. Is it going to make sense in a minute what I'm talking about? So those of you kind of follow me know that I am in the middle of this humongous move. I am moving my business, my inventory, and my mom over into my home. And I'm looking at having to be out of there by the 15th. And I'm looking around going, this is just not happening. And it's just about ready to start calling the movers to come and help me get packed up and get the last of it moved and do all that. So things kind of lined up. I actually have a pickup truck right now, because my SUV got hit and the insurance covered it, and I got a rental vehicle. So I got a truck. So I've got this truck, and they keep calling and saying, I'm sorry, Mrs. Ackerman, we don't have your vehicle done yet. And I'm like, take your time. So it's worked out really good that way. Well, and then Jennifer calls me Wednesday morning. How did they phrase it to you? They
dissolved my position at the company.
Her position was dissolved. It was like, and at first it was like freak out moment. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I have built my entire structure of my life around this paycheck that comes in every 2 weeks. And this is how I pay my bills. So it was kind of one of those, whoa. And then mom's sitting here going, okay, that means you guys can come out to Vegas and help me move then, right? So that worked out really, really good, because here she is. They drove out, and her husband are packing like crazy, and we're getting stuff moved, and it's all falling into place. And it's really got her yearning to get her eBay business back up and running, and adding a little Amazon this time.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, for those who don't know you and don't know kind of where you were before with eBay and e-commerce, can you just give a little background of what you had before?
I started my eBay business when I was pregnant with my third child, and my husband worked, and I did that full time. And last year, he lost his job, and so I panicked and gave up my eBay business and went and got a full-time job, and I was supporting my whole family with that. I never stopped missing eBay. I never stopped thinking, God, when I have time, I'm going to get back to this. I'll start on the weekend, and it just never happened. And then Tuesday morning, I went into work, got let go, didn't see it coming, had no backup plan. And the first thing I did was call my mom and say, okay, this happened, help me get eBay back. And I kind of feel, you know, it's scary, but also it's a blessing, because now I have all the time I need to get that going, and I'm happy about that. I've really missed it.
Yeah, and I know at first you were really like kind of freaking out.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's because you just got this beautiful new apartment, mm-hmm. and just got it all decorated, and then it was like, how am I going to pay the rent?
Well, we have three kids, and that was our only source of income.
Right.
Just gone.
So at first, Carrie, but because you'd been doing the eBay before, and you were very successful at the eBay before.
Yeah.
I mean, you, what was your niche? We're all about the niche here.
I did do a lot of everything, but I did the best with kid things. I'm a mom. Things that help moms. Things for the house. Disney. I live by Disneyland, so that was always my favorite. But I also, I think I did too much other stuff and cluttered my store, and this time I'm really going to focus in on my niche.
Well, you know, you get my approval for that. In fact, it's worked out really good with her helping me pack, is that keep finding stuff that really doesn't fit my niche. It was stuff I got to send into Amazon, and maybe the box isn't quite right or something. So I'm kind of like, okay, that'll go to a yard sale the next time I have them. But now it's like, I'm sending all that stuff home with her, because that'll work really good to get her back up and running inventory wise. So let's talk about that for a minute, because there's a lot of people out there who see, you know, big successful sellers, whether it's Amazon or eBay or whatever, and they're making these big numbers, but it doesn't just start there. You have to build up to it. So talk a little bit about that frustration of really not having any money to go buy inventory and what that feels like.
I mean, you remember when I got pregnant with Aurora and I went, oh no, I don't know what to do. I had no money to, you know, go buy inventory. And I started with stuff in my house. I started my business that in the end I was making $3,000 a month and I was working 2 hours a day. I started by selling my Disney DVDs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that worked well. And sometimes you had to let go of things that you really wanted to keep.
Right. But once I got things going, I rebought those things. I replaced them. My kids, you know, they outgrow stuff. I grabbed everything I could find in my house that I didn't need, and I sold it. And I used that money to go buy new stuff to sell. And it just kind of grew to the point that I had actual profit that was like, okay, I can get new inventory. I'm paying bills. It just kind of can only go up.
Yeah. And one of the things, the reason you picked this niche, and just so tell everybody how old my grandchildren are.
My oldest is going to be 12. My middle son is going to be 7, 8. He's going to be 8. And then my youngest is going to be 3, my little girl.
Yeah, and if anybody's doing the math, my littlest ones are soon to be 8 and 10. So it's quite an interesting little family unit we have. But so you, I mean, it goes back to that opening chart showing you've got your passion, you've got your the market demand, which we know is there. There's moms, and that thing that you know, your experience, your talent is what equals success. And yeah, you really know what kids of all ages need, what moms are buying for them. You're mm-hmm. really involved in that community. So that makes this a perfect niche for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, now I've watched you posting this out on Facebook, and I know that there's a lot of people in my audience are going to find this really interesting, is your kind of extreme couponing.
Oh, yeah, I do that. I'll probably throw a little bit of that into what I'm going to do with Amazon.
Can you talk about that a little bit? How you just kind of...
It's really hard in California. I have some friends out of state that I would see them putting it up, and I was like, how are they doing this? I found that at Target, you can pretty much get things for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll walk out of there with $70 worth of stuff for $13. I think my last run was, I saved $150 on a $300 trip, so I got 50% off my groceries and household stuff.
Yeah, and you know... many of you know Kat Simpson out there. Her and I wrote a book called The Ultimate Guide to Savings by Store, which actually covers 50 different stores where you find all those ways to go in there and basically get stuff, yeah, for free with, mm-hmm. you know, rebates and coupons and, you know, special cards and all that stuff. I'm too lazy. I'm just too lazy. I just can't do it. I can't bring myself to do like keeping track of what discount goes where. I know it's bad. I'm leaving money on the table.
You can make money. I think on one of my trips, I actually spent $6, got $50, $100 worth of stuff. I don't remember. I spent $6 and I got $25 in store credit gift certificates to come back the next time. So I actually got paid to go to Target just by like going on the internet and printing coupons and
And the reason that this is so important and interesting to my audience is not just because of the stuff you can get for yourself.
But for resale.
But for resale. And so I'm going to be working with Jennifer. She didn't even know this yet. I'm going to be working with Jennifer to put a product out there that will take you through how to do this. Because, I mean, it is money that people like me are leaving on the table because I just don't understand it all. And I just, you know, when we wrote the book, Kat wrote about all the retail places because, I mean, that's what she knew. And I stayed away from that. And I wrote about thrift stores and things where now, you know, I know I can tell you how to get, you know, 20% off at Savers and which days to go to Goodwill. But, you know, but the retail end of it is becoming so important. Because of Amazon and retail arbitrage, so we're gonna be working on that. Let's see how we're doing. I gotta watch my time this week because I don't want to just cut you guys off flat like I did last week. I'm being a good girl and watching the clock. So we also are doing something else together that is an idea that many people out there could take advantage of, especially as more and more people do get into a niche. And they have stuff they've bought because it seemed like a good idea at the time that just doesn't fit and you never find time to sell it. I know you've been helping me move a lot of it. but jewelry, I mean, I have bought a lots of jewelry at the auction just because they go for almost nothing. I mean, for $5, $10, you get 50, 60, 70 pieces of nice costume jewelry. And there's a good market for that.
Right now that I
know. Dug into the stash. So what we worked out, because Jennifer doesn't have a lot of space, that she's taking all that jewelry for me that I don't have time to list. We are using another ID other than mine or hers that will specifically be for the jewelry. And we're just going to split the profits. Split it 50-50. Her time, my investment, split the profits. Good deal. And there's people out there all over the place that you can do those things with, whatever. Like if you happen to have a niche in something and you're not coming up with enough inventory on your own, put an ad out there. Find people who have those items that they would just love to share the profits with you on. You know, work those deals if coming up with inventory is tough. There's ways to start this business on a shoestring, literally. I mean, that is the awesome thing about selling online. You can start tomorrow without putting a dollar out, you know, find the stuff around your house and just get started and reinvest. Mm-hmm. Just reinvest that into your business. So what do the kids think about when, of course, you haven't done it for a while, but when you're doing eBay, what were some of the stuff that happened?
They just don't want to get stuck going shopping with me because it becomes all day. Oh. It becomes like a work day. But they liked it. They always got the cool stuff. If I couldn't sell something after a certain amount of time, I was like, okay, it's yours. They're excited. They're happy to have me home again. You know, it was nice having a paycheck, you know, that I knew was guaranteed every month. But at the same time, I never had time for my kids. I never had time to do anything. I was so tired from getting home from work every day that I missed out on a lot of the really important things. And so they're really excited that mom can pick them up from school again and we can cook together and do all those nice family things because I can be in charge of my schedule. I can work it around them and their schedule. So they're happy.
That's so awesome. I'm happy. I love having the generations doing the eBay thing.
I've been really sad. I've missed it. There was something really fulfilling about doing that for myself and being in charge of my own income like that I've really missed. And I'm looking forward to getting back to it.
And it's just fun to go treasure hunting.
It is, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's
shop. So
let's face it, that's why most of us get into this business. Yes, we're bad. And it's going to be fun now when we get to the segment, we start talking about this stuff around me because almost everything here was purchased on my last trip to California. Yeah. And you and I found this together. And of course, we finished decorating your apartment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. but we have fun shopping together. And now it's like, oh, now we're going to be able to do that shopping together thing. Plus, see, and here's the beauty of it, too. You come out here, be a regular guest on my show, and you can start writing off some of that makeup and stuff because, you know, you need it for the show. It's all good. So you guys got any questions for Jennifer? Feel free to throw those into the chat. That's what we get to do here, live and in person. So you're going to stick around with me. We're going to talk about some crazy cool stuff that sold this week. People over on the Danny App Facebook group had submitted as their... We usually do a score Sunday. We did a Woe Wednesday this week because I forced myself to take a Sunday off. Well, I didn't totally take it off, but I tried. So we didn't really run a thread or do anything like that over there. But so we did Woe Wednesday this week and talked about some cool stuff that sold. And I've had... I'm selling stuff without even listing stuff. It's crazy what people will buy when you have the right stuff listed. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to keep you on to kind of go over those things with me on the show. But first, we are going to take just a little commercial break.
This episode brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com.
All right, we are back. So, I was just asking over in the chat if my buddy Matt was over there. So Matt is one of my appsters who has a very unique niche that I just love. I just love week after week after week, he is submitting his scores, which I just love it. And Matt and I talked last fall before he became an appster. And what he does is he gets equipment like chainsaws and weed eaters and riding lawnmowers, and he tears them apart and sells the parts. Because it's what he loves to do is, you know, tear stuff apart. So he always kind of argues with me a little bit when I start talking about being, you know, in the high end of your niche and not price, you know, not selling lower price items. But Matt is truly an exception because he is so fine-tuned niched, he can list things like just crazy. So his focus really is going to be getting somebody else to, you know, just to help him keep up with tearing the stuff down. And the best part is people just give him this stuff. It's broken. It doesn't work anymore, you know? And so I love it. So I love week after week. So he had this one particular item that we're going to show you. Actually, not an item. It's a series of items that he sold. 11 of these things went all to the same customer. And note, he does free shipping. And yeah, they are low-priced items, but I believe the order came to $168 worth of parts for this WT3100 weed eater. Some guy's going to go put that weed eater back together, and I'm thinking, what does that weed eater cost retail? I'm just thinking, but hey, you know what? Somebody wants to buy it. But all of these went to the same guy. So he has free shipping built into every one of these. So that was just a major bonus on top of everything else because, you know, he expected to pay shipping on every one of those parts when he set the price. And this way, it was ka-ching. Where's our ka-ching? That's worthy of a big ka-ching there. So I just love it. I just love it. Yes. So it, just because I am always preaching about don't leave money on the table and price high, if you have a niche where you're doing sell similar, you can be on the lower end because it's no longer having to worry about every single one of those as individuals. You just keep listing them and you just keep managing your inventory and turning it over. So I love Matt's business model. Love it, love it, love it. So good job. Next, now this is a name that I have not seen in this course thread before. And I'm probably going to mess it up because that's what I do. I mess up names. Oh, Katie Koschke. So let me give you her item number, which is 14162197-4845. Gosh, I remember the days when those item numbers were only like five numbers. It was really, really cool. We don't have those anymore. Now it's like, what is it, like 15 now? Anyway, this is a Philips on-site heart start defibrillator. Heart pumper thing. Okay. Okay, so that thing, you guys can see it. So she got this for free, but it wasn't working. So story goes that she bought a $20 part to fix it. And y'all see what it sold for? $550. $550. Yeah. How many people would probably have passed on that or thrown it out because it didn't work? And she just did a little work and $20 later turned that into $550. So I love that score. Love it, love it. And always think outside the box, you guys, on that stuff. And how something that can be of like huge value, you can turn around and make huge profits on. Yeah, and you guys know me on eBay. I'm perfectly fine. You want to go outside of your niche to list something that's going to make you $530 profit. You are not going to get scolded by me. Okay, that's all good. Notice it was auction format too. See, this is key too. Stuff that is like not totally in your niche, the best thing to do with it is find an auction price to start it at where it's a no-brainer that it's going to sell, move it through, make the money, go. That's what I like to do. All right. Next, we have a score by... Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Lisa's over in the chat sharing the links with you guys as we go. Love it. This is from Terry Benedict. Item number 1-7-1-4-3-0-8-5-3-5-2-4. So those that were here with me last week probably noticed I'm actually able to read my notes this week because I printed it in like a 24 font. Hey, but just in case, I did bring these, but I'm not going to put them on. All right, so what do we got? We got, did that go? Yeah, it did. Oh, Franciscan Orchard Glade Soup Pasta Bowl. So Franciscan dinnerware, there are a lot of people out there that have this dinnerware, and it chips really easy, let me just say. So people are always looking for replacement pieces. Now, she bought these for 50 cents each. And I'll tell you in a minute what she got for them. But she picked this up at a, I believe she said a church yard sale or a rummage sale because it reminded her of a pattern that she had seen at her grandparents' house, Desert Rose. Now, I don't think you, I don't know if you remember Auntie Lynn.
Yes, of course I remember Auntie
Okay,
Lynn.
Good. All right. So I grew up every summer going up to Carpinteria, California, and setting the table with the Franciscan Desert Rose pattern. And I picked this as one of our scores because it is a great example of how people will buy on emotion. Like it stirs something. I'm sure, you know, I say her name and it, like, you have memories you're flooded with. And that dinnerware to me is just flooded with good memories. It's where I learned to set a table. So we did it all prim and proper. And I was actually, it was funny as I got older selling on eBay and I realized, oh my gosh, those dishes are worth a lot of money and we ate on them every night. But that's how people buy. So she got $200 for the set of eight. Now, what I didn't see is if they all went to the same person. And I don't know if Terry is over in the chat and tell us if that is true. Because if they all went to the same person, again, she had free shipping She had the shipping built into the price. So if all eight of those went to the same person, there's some extra ka-ching there. Bonus. Yes, yes. All right. And then let's see. We've got a score from Nancy Gordon. Nancy Gordon. And this is item number 28165280351. Again, this was bought for 50 cents at a library sale. And let's pull it up a little better here. This is a book called A Work in Progress by Chick Corea on being a musician. And this is, I would have been attracted to this too. It's something you don't see every day. It's kind of wonky. And I absolutely love it when I can't find anything in my quick research. Now, when I'm out searching books, I don't know what you guys use. I love the Amazon Flow app. If you guys have used that, it's get that app. It doesn't work so good for other products, but you can go through a bookshelf literally in like a minute because it's picture technology. So it scans the picture, pulls up if it finds one, and it's just boom, boom, boom. And you can see, I mean, obviously we know there's a lot of penny booksellers out there. I still don't understand that business model. It makes me crazy, but it is what it is. So anything that is being sold by a penny bookseller is a pass, obviously. And they're making their money on the shipping because Amazon pays like $3.99 as like a base shipping. So they're selling it for a penny and it probably costs them $2 to ship it. So they got like $2 built in there somewhere. The mass volumes. You guys don't want to be one of those sellers. I mean, you have to do mass volumes to make any kind of money. But when you find something that doesn't come up as anybody else having it, those, my friends, are the potential scores. Not all of them will be a score. Some will be duds. But those are the ones that go in my cart every single time because it can turn out like this. $99.95 for something she paid 50 cents for. And yeah, big time. And I know some of you are thinking, and let me just go back. It sold in 4 days after she listed it. And so some of you are probably thinking, oh, she could have got more. She could have priced that higher. I know, we all do that, right? But here's the thing. Actually, here's two things. Number one, you can't go broke making a profit. So don't ever feel bad that you made, you know, 100, yeah, thank you, $100 profit on an item. It's all good. Even if somebody else is going to go on and make some more money. You turned that sucker in 4 days, boom, you've got $100 to go back and find more $100 items. But the other thing is, these are really good items to put on auction format. Everybody's always asking me, you know, I'm not sure how to list this item. So if you've got something that nobody else has listed and you can't find any data to give a market value, those are the very items that are worth trying at auction. So $99.95, if you started that at auction and it brought one bidder and one sale, same outcome ultimately, or you just get two crazy bidders that want that item, and you never know. You just never know what things are going to go for. I mean, have you ever had one of those really cool? What was yours?
Stuffed animals, plush. I don't know what it is, but I get them for nothing, and then they'd turn around, and I'd get people that just had to have it because it was something they had when they were a kid or something their kid had to have that there was no more in the stores, and two people will go crazy, and I would just couldn't believe it sometimes.
I can go back to when, oh my gosh, when first kind of got started in this crazy business. It was when it first got really serious, and you probably remember when Steve and I were doing the storage lockers.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day when you could really make money off of storage lockers before anybody did a show or wrote a book. But no, really, that was, you know, things have changed and it's okay. We're going to reminisce a little bit on this. But there was this locker that all we wanted was the shelving. It was beautiful commercial shelving lined up along the back. And that's all I could see in that locker. That's it. It was full of boxes. It was a very neat, tidy locker, which is always something you want to look for is, you know, somebody took care in putting the stuff in there and it was all neatly organized. Open that door and I'm just like counting up. Because as you do, you figure out what you can see and how much the value in that is. So we're like $400. We'll pay $400 for this locker. That's what it would cost us if we had to go out and buy this shelving. Here it is. Beautiful. So we're bidding. We're bidding. We were at $300. Thought we were going to get it. Somebody goes, $350. I'm like, shoot. So we go $400. And you know, the adrenaline starts rushing because you know you're going to have to make that decision. If somebody goes higher, then you have to like think really quick and go, oh, am I going to go higher? Oh, I don't want to go higher. I don't want to spend the money, but I really want those. But luckily, we got it for $400. And this is what's crazy. We hadn't even seen this. It was sitting right inside the door. We're emptying the locker. A brand new 116-piece Craftsman tool set. New. Sealed. Never been opened. Right there. It was like, oh, this is going to be a good locker. And then there was artwork, all kind of stacked. And Jennifer knows I have a thing for art now.
Oh, yeah. We just moved all that today from one house to the other.
A whole truck bed load of art. Really good art.
It was fun.
And then you go back through and go, oh, I remember I bought that. But back to the story. So she had collected Bev Doolittle's, which is a very famous Southwest artist. Bev Doolittle prints go for hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And it was full. I mean, and Howard Terpning, which is another really famous Southwest artist. That one sold, one print sold for $500. That. So I just made a boatload off of all that. And then we started digging into the boxes. Oh my gosh. So the lady's stuff that was in there had worked for NASA.
Oh, nice.
During the beginning of the space shuttle program, she had collected every single piece of paper ever associated with her job, every shuttle launch, landing. She had signed photos of all the different astronauts. I mean, I was not very good at keeping track of my numbers back then, but I think estimating that we made about 10 grand off of that locker would be a very conservative number. But the creme de la creme was in the very last box we got to. And I was going to toss this box, by the way, because we were moving and I was sick of astronaut stuff. I was. It's not my thing. And I was so tired of it because I'm like, I had been absorbed in all of that. And hubby Steve goes, no, you better check. You better check. And so I did. I went through it. Okay, there is a holy grail of astronaut signatures out there that if you ever get one, you're going to be in good shape. And that is Neil Armstrong. Yes, there was a signed Neil Armstrong photograph in this box. And of course, now he's highly, highly forged because his signature is so extremely rare. And it was rare because the man did not sign anything. He quit signing autographs. He wouldn't even sign checks. His signature was nowhere. And so, I mean, because of the provenance of this locker, meaning all the information that backed up that this was legit, we started that on auction at $9.99, and watched it. And it bounced up to about $200 right away. And we were like, oh, cool, $200. And then we watched it. And about the last few hours, it was sitting at around $800. And we were ecstatic. We're like, yeah, $800. And lo and behold, that last few minutes when the crazy bidding war really took it home, $2,500.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my all-time favorite sale. All-time favorite sale. So,
didn't you find a car buried underneath boxes in a storage locker?
Oh, yeah. We've sold a car, too. We'll share that story another time.
Wasn't it a cougar?
Okay, you want me to tell the car story. So, again, storage lockers was how we really made our killing in this business when we first really started going. And again, you guys, don't run out and get storage lockers. They're not the same as they used to be. You got to be a lot more careful about what you're finding in them. But here's the cool thing. So we go out, and when you do these storage locker auctions, they usually have a route that they take, and you go from place to place. Well, this particular day, there was a place that was kind of off the beaten path. It was a little far out from where everything else was, and there was only one locker. So most of the dealers that were along said, screw it, we'll meet you up at the next one. Not us. I'm hardcore. I got to see what I'm, missing. And so it was us and one other person when they opened this door. And they open this door, and there is a 1967 Cougar frame sitting up on what's called a car dolly, which is how you work on a car body. It didn't have any drivetrain, no engine, no wheels on it, nothing like that. It was just the frame. But it was all like, it was straight and it was primered and it was ready to be put back together. But that wasn't the best part. On the back wall, it was shelving lined up with all these little boxes. And we didn't know exactly what those were at first because you couldn't see. So we're looking at each other going, how in the heck are we going to get this thing home? We don't have a car trailer or nothing. We're like, we're brainstorming. And the bidding opens and nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. And the manager at the storage place is like desperate. She's like, please take it. A dollar. And we're looking at each other like, oh my gosh. So called some friends. I said, can you hold on just a sec? We called some friends of ours who her husband worked on cars, and they had a car dolly. So we're like, hey, you want to go halvesies on a locker with a car in it? And I told them kind of the details. And they're like, sure. I said, okay. You got to pony up 50 cents though. They were like, okay, sure. So, okay, we get the locker for a dollar. And usually you have to get out of a locker by the end of the day, sometimes the next day. This manager was really cool. She wanted this thing out of this locker and knew we were her only hope. So she said, I'll give you to the end of the week. But we want it. Once I own something, I want it in my possession. I'm just a little controlling that way. So they come out and we get in there, and those little boxes on the back wall, new old stock, 1967 Cougar parts to put this car back together.
The whole car was in there, right?
The whole car, no engine, no tranny, no drivetrain. So you'd still have to put that part, but all of the original glass, all the original and new old stock part. And the cool thing was, Cougar parts fit Mustangs too. So that's where we really made the money, was because those parts went right over to, and here's the cool thing. So she's like, you sell the little stuff on eBay and we'll take care of the big car parts. I'm like, done. And so that story kind of ended up though, that her husband fell in love with the car. You know where this is going, right? He wanted to keep it. He wanted to put it back together. So we said, okay, look, why don't you buy us out for $1,000? Ka-ching! They did. didn't ever have to do any work on that car. We just turned $1, actually 50 cents, into $1,000. It was beautiful. I mean, and you could still get stuff in lockers. I mean, I love storage lockers. Talk about treasure hunt. I have a friend right now who buys them, and if he thinks he has a good one, he says, "You want to come dig this locker with me?" I'm like, ask me a hard question. Yeah, so love lockers, but a lot more risk than there used to be. They sell for a lot higher, and you find a lot less cool stuff in them. That's the only bad thing. So anybody in our chat do lockers? I know it's kind of a thing that people have like passed by. People are still making money. I mean, what is Storage Wars? I stopped watching it like last season. You watch it?
No. I haven't had time for a year to watch TV because of my job.
That's true. I watch Shipping Wars though. Shipping Wars is cool. And I cringe a little every time I think about that I have to hire like, you know, a freight shipper to ship something, thinking, oh, am I going to get one of these knuckleheads? Yeah, if any of them are ever watching my show, sorry, but you know, it is what it is. I just want to reach through the screen and slap them sometimes. But I want to sell some of that stuff they're hauling. You know, some of those like robots and big figures and stuff.
Shows.
Yeah. And Liam is my son-in-law. Yeah. So cool stuff. So what else we got going over in our chat over here? Just make sure I'm keeping up. I get so caught up in the, like, the memories and the stories. I think my chat is just not okay. Bob's you stopped watching them. Yeah. Yeah, they are a little fake. I found out a little backstory on that. I think we got time. Yeah. So the backstory on that isn't they're not actually they're not planted per se. So it's not like they buy the locker and then the producers go in and stuff them with stuff. That's not how it works. Here's how it works. They put stuff in the locker. They fill the locker and let it go delinquent, purposely knowing that it's lined up to be part of the show. The producer does this for the show so it's really, in reality, they're bidding on a locker and they're emptying it as it is. But that's the little backstory to that. So it's basically, let's make a deal, you know. And, you know, here's the thing about that show, too. They're given the money to go buy the lockers. It's not their money. It's not their risk. They're like, you know, they probably have some insane budget now. Like, you know, here's 10 grand to go play at the storage lockers with, you know. Most people don't have that, you know.
No.
You have to hold on to that money a little tighter. But, yeah, so now you know. But, you know, I mean, I get it. Produce television, they have to condense what really happens down into about 30 minutes and make it entertaining. So, obviously, if they sat there and we just saw it, we'd be bored to tears. Nobody would watch the show. So, it is treasure hunting. It is what it is. And it does happen. I mean, it is based on reality because it does happen. Just not as often as it used to, unfortunately. All right, guys, we are going to take one more quick commercial break and be right back to look at some of this cool stuff laying around me. Are you ready to have a different year than you did the year before, and the year before that, and so on and so on? Well, join success-minded entrepreneurs at the second annual More Fun, Bigger Profits event in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 13th, 14th, and 15th, and put together your dream business blueprint. You'll walk away with a plan in place to reach the level of sales you desire. Top-notch experts will be there to help you fill in the pieces of your blueprint, including Jim Cockrum. He'll share with you how to add multiple streams of income. Michelle Sism. She'll show you how to track conversion and do more of what is working and less of what isn't. Bellany DeShong, who's sometimes just a shift in mindset makes all the difference, and this is Bellany's specialty, helping you shift to a mindset that attracts money instead of sending it running. John Lawson, you need your social media marketing to be a little more, well, kick-ass? Well, he's your guy. And speed training sessions will feature topics of inventory management, time management, system development, video marketing, powerful photography, and much more. So just go over to morefunbiggerprofits.com to see the entire lineup of speakers and to grab your ticket. Oh, and use the code RADIO100 to get $100 off your ticket now. See you there. All right. So what have I got laying around this desk today? I left enough time for us to actually talk about it today. I got so carried away last week. So what's really fun is I think just about everything sitting here you and I found together a couple weeks ago when I was out in California. I showed a couple things last week, but I promised you guys I'd bring it all back and we'd talk some more about the what was found and why I bought it and how to sell the sizzle. So I told him last week how we went to, we went yard sailing, and I can't remember if I told the story about the desk. Let's tell the story about the desk since it's your story.
So we went and I saw the bar first.
Yeah.
And she was selling it for $100. She had taken an old mid-century piece and fixed it up herself. It was $150. We passed on that, but as we were walking out, I saw a desk buried in stuff that was also mid-century, not in the worst condition, and I assumed it was going to be more because of what she had the other pieces priced at, and it was $10.
That was so crazy.
Yeah, $10. Took it home, grabbed polish from my mother-in-law's house because I didn't have any. It took me 5 minutes. We took pictures. I have about 3 people that want to come take a look at it. Just, you know.
And this is kind of the embarrassing part for me. Well, no, it shouldn't be because you're my daughter and, you know, you've learned well. But I didn't spot it. I was also focused on this little cute, little shabby chic looking little bar cart kind of a thing. And look over and she's like, Mom, isn't that like mid-century? Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. But I wasn't even thinking. She goes, it's only $10. And again, had the truck.
That worked out.
So yeah, we loaded that sucker up. And it's cute. And it was marked when we flipped it over.
Oh yeah, it's marked. It's Danish. It's a nice piece.
It's the real thing. $10. And so it's so funny how people price stuff. Some stuff they'll be like emotionally attached to, and some stuff they'll just get it out of here. Who'd have thunk? So we're going along and we're yard sailing and we found, I think we were pretty much done. And then we passed a street where it said estate sale. Who can resist a sign that says estate sale? And it wasn't just one, it was 2 estate sales side by side. And I did tell the story last week how the first one we went into, everything was 50% off. It was the last day and there wasn't a whole lot there. We found a couple things, but the other one, everybody was kind of disgusted at the prices because it was full price.
Yeah.
And I showed the bronze last week. It was like the first thing I like ran into. And then I saw this thing. And you guys know I like weird, wacky, unusual, full of fun little keywords that you can sell the sizzle with. This is carved of stone. I haven't quite figured out what they did to make the head and the feet textured. They almost feel like metal, but they're not. So I think it's some kind of a paint or something. But this was priced at a whopping $9. I haven't done any research or anything. I know for a fact I can get at least $50 for this. Like, not even thinking about it, because it's not something somebody's going to buy because they're out price shopping, you know, kind of stuff. They're going to see it and they're going to go, oh, yeah, that would fit so good in my collection. Or, oh, I got to give that to, you know, I'm always afraid to say a name because it's like, if I got somebody, I'm going to offend. No, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I can give them that wacky gift, you know, the white elephant gift or whatever. So no brainer. Right next to it was this thing. And I got to look at it first before I show it to you guys, just to remember why the heck I bought this. No, it's obsidian, however you say that. It's rock. And it's got, you guys probably can't see it, but it's got a little bit of a iridescence to it when you kind of turn it. So it is a hawk with something on its head that I'm sure means something. But I saw that sitting there and it didn't have a price on it. So what I did, I'd already found this one. I walked up to the guy and said, hey, this was sitting next to this one over here. Is it about the same price? Of course. Little tip, you know, you can kind of give them the reason to price it a certain way. So yeah, got this for, I believe he gave it to me for $8.
Yeah, I think so.
And this is, again, without doing a stick of research yet, I know this is $50 or $60. Like, it, no brainer. And I forget, what else did we get at that sale? Oh, I think that the angels came from that sale. So there's three of these. Now, 'tis not the season for angels right now, but you can still list them. There are Christmas collectors. You're not going to get as high of pricing. These are Holt Howard, HH. I think that's what that is. And these are mid-century, and they will sell for about $30 a piece. And I paid, that's right. I remember these now because they were priced at $6 and they gave them to me for half price because I was buying a bunch of stuff. So I got the whole set for $9, gonna sell the whole set for about $90. So I really like to, I don't want to sit on unlisted inventory. This is something that is still something I work on and struggle with. And I know many of you do too. Unlisted inventory, guys, does not make you any money. And in fact, you're really supposed to count it against whatever your profits are in your taxes. I want to get this stuff listed within a week of bringing it home and dealing, even if it's a Christmas item, because I know that if I don't do that, what's going to happen?
People buy Christmas stuff all year long.
They do. They
Christmas
do.
Christmas in July. That's like a thing, isn't it?
This is true. But what's going to happen if I don't list this stuff? Because you know.
It will disappear in your house.
Exactly. So get it listed, even if it's off season. Because yeah, there's always people buying. So somebody was asking over on the Facebook group about listing coats. They got these really, really nice coats. And like, should I list them now? Well, guess
it's
what?
It's cold in England. It's cold in Australia.
Australia. Yeah. It's their winter going into. So yeah, list that stuff. Just make sure you're international. So we had a little fun at the Goodwill down by my daughter's house. It's really so inconvenient that it's practically in walking distance from your house. I know it's a big stressor. When we go there, 2 times, 3 times?
Me and Liam have a track we go on where we know where we're going to get lunch and where the next Goodwill is, and we have like a set little track.
So this is how bad my daughter is. We'd already been in the Goodwill, and I think, and the next day we went and we got our toes done.
Yeah.
And you know, if we actually find a way to show those on the show, we can write those off too, because then we make them part of it. But we got our toesies done, and it was in the same parking lot as the Goodwill. And she's like, I say, yeah, we went there yesterday. But they put out all new stuff every day, Mom. Then it's just like, oh, okay, fine. Force
and
me.
We still walked out with, what, $300
yes!
worth of stuff, 2 carts?
Crazy. Yeah, I'm wearing a pair of the pants too that we found. Very cool. So I'm talking a minute about plush. You guys know I love my plush.
They're my favorite.
Plush people pay crazy prices for plush, and you know why? Because it's emotional. There is memories attached. There's some kid screaming in their room because they've lost their Marvin the Martian. You know, that kind of thing causes people to spend a lot of money on plush. Plush that is directed more towards an adult audience. You know, SpongeBob and you know, the Looney Tunes, things that go back to our childhoods, depending when that was. Of course, your childhood is later than mine. I said that right. We won't go there. So here's Marvin, and he's still got his tag. So $4. My gosh, $4 for Marvin the Martian.
No, blue tags were on sale. He was half off.
Oh, was he? I didn't even look at that, though, when I was buying him.
He was half off.
Because here's the thing. A character like Marvin is a $30 bill all day long.
Easy.
$30 is nothing. Have you guys bought a new plush animal lately in the stores? They're not cheap. I mean, the little garbage, like, are going to fall apart in a day ones are $30. So somebody will pay $30 for a used plush. It's crazy.
They're easy to list. They're easy to ship. I love selling plush. It's my favorite.
Fold that little sucker up. Maybe, you know, put him. Oh, look, he looks like he's praying. Put him in a little poly envelope and he's on his way. I mean, it's easy. And the giant ones, even the big jumbos,
they're still easy to ship.
Scrunch them up. Throw them in a bag. Yeah. Scrunch them. They unscrunch. Trust me. They're like memory foam when they open it. So $100 all day long for a big old jumbo plush. Because you know who buys those? What do you think buys those? People looking for crazy gifts to give to somebody, and price is not a part of it. There, you know, there really are people that have money to spend, you guys. I talk to a lot of people who are like pinching and budgeting and worried about spending, but there's a lot of people out there who can just go drop a $100 bill like it's nothing. Yeah. And I know they're shopping eBay. I know they are. I'm friends with some of them. Some of them are going to be at the More Fun, Bigger Profits conference.
Just because you have money to spend doesn't mean you don't still want a good deal. And to them, spending that money on eBay is a good deal and a good way to spend their money.
Exactly. I mean, that is why designer brands, you can still ask big prices as long as you're coming off of that retail. And they know what the retail is.
Yes.
They know. If it's, I want a pair of those fancy shoes with the pink bottoms. Louis Vuittons, or however you say that. And there's Jimmy Choo's too. I mean, and people know that those are what, like $5,000 shoes? So they sell still for like $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 used on eBay. Like, that's way out of my range. I'll take a fake pair. If anybody comes across, I'm good with that. I just want the pretty pink bottoms on the shoes, okay?
Nail polish.
Tacky. No, we don't want to do like,
I'm kidding,
redneck Louis Vuitton.
I'd never let you get out of the house like that.
but seriously, people go looking for those brands, and especially if you are niched and you know that that's your target audience, they're gonna come back and shop your shop because they know that you're gonna bring them those high quality merchandise, and they're still gonna get a good deal, but they're still gonna spend a boatload of money. And that's what you got to focus on. One last thing I'm going to bring up and show you, because I talk about this all the time and you guys always think I'm crazy, but I just get giddy when I find one of these at a thrift store. Bags of fake fruit. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 pieces in here. There's pears, apples, grapes. Grapes aren't as good as the apples, the pears, and some of the weirder stuff. These are $10 bills. And this is like one of my...
And people don't buy just one. They go in and they buy 7, exactly. 8, 9, 10 of them. And you put them all in one shipping. And I used to make $50 to $100 every time I sold fruit because people would buy multiples.
It's insanity. It's insanity. Yeah. So sell similar. Easy to ship. $10 bills. And they will spend that money on them. There you go. Fake fruit. Don't pass it by. And the more unusual, the better. I mean, like, there's bread and cheese and cakes and
it helps to also look into what, like, an apple, if it's a gala apple or a red, because people really do look for that specific kind of apple.
And think of this as, and this is your, take this home with you tip of the day here. Your target customer for fake fruit is not somebody making a pretty fruit basket. It is for a theater prop.
Yeah.
or a movie prop or like a photographer who needs the fruit. They just need to find it.
Even staging homes and stuff, they use that.
Staging homes. And they have a budget to spend on this stuff. I mean, it's a prop to them. It's not a piece of fake fruit. It is a prop. And props are expensive. Mm-hmm. So always be thinking who your target customer is. So how awesome was it to have you here today? Thank you. I know you didn't want to do it. But
I was nervous, but it was fun. Glad I got to be here.
And I know my audience is thrilled to have met you.
I'm the one that's been calling everybody and...
Yeah, she's
trying
the one
to get you to the event,
calling and saying, come on, get your ticket. So with that, guys, you know, thank you so much for being here for episode 2. Now, I will be out of town next week. No show next week. I know we just got rolling, but we'll be back the following week. Thank you. With John Lawson is going to be virtually here. And we will be talking about social marketing. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And with that, go be profitable and make it fun. We'll see you next time.